Alright, alright, alright. You are listening to A Pastor in His Newspaper, a podcast helping you read the news with the Bible in your hand. I am Dr. Castro. It's good to be with you. And this makes the second episode in 2 weeks. So I'm doing better than I was in the beginning of 2024. And I want to talk about, first off, what happened in Israel this past weekend. And if you don't know, which Iran has been a foe of Israel, you know, for a long time. Primarily, Iran has pestered and annoyed Israel from afar through a proxy, Hezbollah in particular. They, you know, the great secret that everyone knows is that Hamas was definitely financially supported by Iran. Mostly because, and I said this episodes before, and after October 7th, 2023, out of fear of the Israeli-Saudi alliance and relationship, the Abraham Accord, Israel's trade accord with the Gulf states. And I'll kind of just do a quick review. What really is going on in the Middle East is you have two-sided world. You've got the Saudis on one side and the Iranians on the other. And Israel is a major player in all this because geography, they're in the Middle East. They're a rich nation. They're supported by the West. And so they are definitely a country you want to trade with, right? Israel aligning themselves with this Gulf state, not only does it increase the power of Israel, but it also most definitely increases the wealth and power of the Gulf states and makes Iran less significant and less powerful in the region. So really the support of Hamas, while Hamas definitely wants Israel blown off the map, and yes, Iran wants Israel blown off the map, but there's also a political, geopolitical chess game going on, and Iran is afraid they're losing, and they are losing, because Saudi is becoming far more invested in providing things from the West, right? I mean, soccer is one example. They're spending billions upon billions of dollars on sports, Formula One, and the Gulf states had the World Cup not too long ago. So the West, the Gulf states, while having rich oil reserves and selling their oil on the market and making lots of money, they're also basically becoming aligning themselves with the West. And so them aligning themselves with Israel is a big part of that. And so Iran is, again, losing this chess game. So primarily they have kind of pushed back on these moves by Israel and the Gulf states through proxies. Well, and they had a proxy in Yemen they were basically indirectly impacting Saudi Arabia. And then they had a proxy in Hezbollah, which is in Lebanon, by indirectly affecting Israel. Iran has taken it to the next level by directly attacking Israel with drones and missiles. This happened this past weekend, and primarily it was in a response to Israel's, Israel has not claimed responsibility, but there's a view that Israel attacked a military, basically a Iranian building in Damascus, Syria, which killed seven of its military officials with this airstrike. Iranian Republican Guard. And so this was a response to those actions that they perceived as something that Israel has done. And so they sent drones and missiles and rockets from Iran to Israel. Now, we do know that because of the United States, Great Britain, and France in the kind of the air defense, that they were able to intercept 99% of those missiles and rockets. There's not one death. There was one child that was injured, and they did impact minorly a military base. So while I do believe Iran wanted to kill as many Israelis as they possibly could, in some ways, there's a way to view this in different ways. There's that, but also this is a response and maybe even a way to use what's going on in Gaza and seeing that some of the Israeli allies have kind of maybe moved, started to move away from supporting Israel because of the humanitarian disaster that is happening in Gaza, that Iran saw that, that there was an opportunity to take advantage of the situation. Now they failed to do anything significant or affecting anything in Israel. And also, you know, I think it, in some ways it's for those, for the military leadership in Iran, a way to, you know, appease hardliners who want Iran to directly attack Israel, and who do truly support, like, you know, removing them from the map completely, kind of appeasing, you know, I think, you know, not to kind of make fun of them, but the, you know, even in Iran, there's, you've got your base you have to, that you need their support, right? And so while they didn't do anything, they didn't damage anything significant, they did appease the hardliners, right? So there's a lot going on there. And I think it's just what it did primarily was just light a match to an, to a situation that is surrounded by gasoline, right? And it's very, it's a very tense region right now. And Iran has just kind of increased the temperature in the region over the past, you know, several months since October. And so in some ways, what it's probably going to do is maybe draw more attention to Israel. And there's going to be that support that maybe was pulling away is now maybe, you know, strongly supporting. And one of those maneuvers that even the United States has just done recently in the House, they presented, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, presented four new bills. And in those bills was a foreign aid package of $95 billion. $26.4 billion would be aided to Israel, $60.9 billion for Ukraine, and $8.2 billion for U.S. allies in the Indo-Pacific region. It also included $5.6 billion in humanitarian aid for Gaza. And the Ukrainian and Indo-Pacific aid would be conditioned as a loan. And the president may cancel up that loan up to 50% of the total debt in, at his discretion. Now, there's been some pushback in the in Congress, in the House, especially in the House Freedom Caucus. These are the most conservative members of the House who are pushing against. And they, what they want is they want the foreign aid to be connected to President Biden and the Democrats supporting increases in security improvements at the U.S. southern border. So Speaker Johnson doesn't want that to be, you know, right, it kind of like hung on that bill because he's afraid that it would fall apart if they put any type of mechanism that would require Democrats to support increasing border security on the U.S. border, especially in an election year. So we're not going to get into the nitty-gritties of that, but there has been some pushback. You know, I, again, we've talked about this, I think, in the beginning of this season of a Pastor's Newspaper on the importance of supporting what's going on in the world. And I think where, you know, Speaker Johnson and other Republicans in particular, and Democrats as well, when it comes to this, the importance of foreign aid, especially in Israel and in Ukraine, is supporting U.S. values, which is liberty and freedom. And especially when we look at Ukraine, you know, the Russians are the opposite of liberty and freedom, who think they can invade whomever they want because they want it. And so the U.S. needs to be supporting, you know, nations and parties that are about liberty and freedom. And that's why, you know, again, even using Iran is not that much different than Turkey. I mean, not much different than Russia. And actually Iran and Russia are very much aligned with one another because they see the world very similarly. Like, it's bully politics. It's, putting down opposition, jailing opposition, assassinating opposition. And that's what they do in Iran, right? There have been several times of those who want liberty and freedom in Iran who are then quickly put down, right? Killed, jailed, never seen again. And Iran is against the Jewish state, but also against democracy, right? It's not just Israel that they hate, but they hate the U.S. as well. They hate the West as well. And so this is who they are, right? They are in league with China. They're in league with Russia. They're in league with nations that want to oppress liberty and freedom and want to prop up kind of their own dictatorship and their oligarchy and power of the will and their desire to basically minimize voices within their nation or knowledge of any type. And as the United States, we're a nation of free press. We're a nation of freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom of speech. And we should be about supporting those who want to install that in their own nations. And so the U.S. should support Ukraine. They should support Israel. And this is what we should do. This is what we should support. And as American Christians, we should pray for people, for life, right? We should be against death and for life. And, we should support those who are being harmed by those who just want to take things or want to destroy things because they don't like it. And it goes against what they want. And Russia and Iran are those two nations that they hate the opposition and they want to take what they believe is theirs, and they should not be allowed to do so. Iran should not be allowed to just shoot missiles and rockets and drones to terrorize the nation of Israel. And that's a thing that U.S. and Great Britain and France and other Western powers should be against. We definitely need to continue to pray for Israel, for the Jews, for our allies in the Middle East. We do need to pray that people will not be harmed, and people will get the care that they need in Gaza. Like I said, in the fall, the problem... Yes, Israel was attacked and it was horrible and it was evil and wicked. But there are two sides to the to those who will lose in this is also the poor in Gaza. And I think I talked about this in the fall. There is severe poverty. There's severe starvation. There's a famine going on. And it's a very difficult, complex situation that you see a lot of people in the West, they're protesting against Israel because they see Israel as the oppressors and Gaza, the people of Gaza as the victims. The issue is that there are many victims in this situation, and the clear oppressor, Now we can go into the complications of how Israel oppresses those like the Palestinians, and there are examples of that clearly, but where we see just blanket, clear, factual, consistent oppression, and that is the government of Hamas and the Iranians in the Middle East. They are the oppressors. So when you are protesting against Israel, you're supporting the clear oppressors consistently in this situation. And that's just the truth of the matter. And yes, we get it where it gets all so frustrating is that people then will decide that, well, Israel are white and Hamas are dark skinned. And so white are the oppressors and dark skinned are the victims. And it's basically taking skin color and making that determination of who are the oppressors and who are the victims. And there's so much more history and there's so much more going on, and you're just not even trying to understand what's going on. And that's the sad thing about all of this, that Israel is a nation that supports democracy and the freedom of speech and the freedom of the press and the freedom of assembly. And Hamas has none of those things. The Iranian people have none of those things. So the true oppressors are the governments of those two people. And there are people that just the common everyday people who are trying to raise their families, run their businesses, a lot of times aren't able to do that, you know. And the Iranian government spent God knows how much money that could have gone to feed their people and provide good education for their people, went into sending stupid rockets that didn't do anything, right? So what a, you know, that just talks about just the craziness of bad government. Bad government, and the Iranians are a clear example of that, and the government of Hamas is a clear example of that. They are bad governments, and the people should be able to throw them out because they have not cared. They have not provided justice for the unjust. They provided no basic care. They protected no people. And that's the big issue of this whole story. We should be against bad government, right? And I know you think the U.S. is a bad government, but if you compare them to most of the world, it's a good government, right? I mean, you do have freedoms, and then they're not perfect by any means. And they do things that are horrible at times and inefficient, and they don't do what we would want them to do with our money. They tax us too much. We have these grumbles and complaints, and some of them are justified, and some of them are just grumbling because we grumble. But if you look at the world, we have freedom. We have the freedom to speak and to assemble, and the freedom of a press, and we can bring charges against those who do harm to us. And it's not a perfect system, but in comparison to most of the rest of the world, it is a good government. It's a good government. And Hamas and Iran is a bad, bad government. And it's clear in scripture as we look. And you look at Genesis chapter 9, we kind of see kind of the first institution of government to, if blood is shed, that injustice should be judged, right? And that if someone kills someone, that person who's done the killing should be judged for that action. We see this in Genesis 9. But then the New Testament picks up language about honoring your government, right? The government has been given the sword of bringing justice to injustice. And if you do what is good and right, you shouldn't be afraid of the government. And I think that's properly true, especially in America. Now, there are times where the government goes too far, and I think that's stuff we should speak about and openly address. But in Iran and Hamas, there's nothing. The oppressors, the wicked, if they know the right people, they get, there's no justice whatsoever. They're bad government. And we should pray that God would install good government there, because when there's good government, you know what happens? There's freedom of religion. People can share the gospel truth openly. People can worship together and understand who God is and his word. And even if you're a government official and you're a different religion, or you're not a part of that religion, you allow it to happen because it's a part of the government. It's part of good government and providing protection and allowing people to have freedom of conscience. These are examples of good government. And we should pray that would be installed in those places. And we pray that the missionaries can go there and churches can be started and worship can happen and God can be glorified and Christ can be known. And that actually improve the society of Iran and Hamas. And when we think about what is best for people, the gospel is always where we should start and end. It's the gospel, it's Christ. And they will not allow people to bring the gospel. They won't allow people to bring the Bible. And they care more about jailing opposition and caring for their people. They're more concerned about removing Israel from the map. And it's ludicrous. And it's just the most frustrating thing is if you understand what's going on, who's at play, it's stupid. It's just quite foolish and dumb and evil and wicked, and pray that God would bring justice on these leaders who promote injustice. So hope you enjoyed this as well. We'll be back next week, hopefully God willing, with another episode of A Pastor's Newspaper, and continue to read the news with the Bible in your hand.